Tonight's shear is a Tisha B'Av themed shear, and the title of the shear tonight is The Destruction of Beitar. So tonight we're going to look at the Gemaras that deal with the destruction of Beitar, and we're going to try to analyze why it's such a central theme to Tisha B'Av, and what aspects of the destruction of Beitar are really essential to why it was such a great tragedy, and we mourn it on Tisha B'Av. So the Rambam, we'll start with the Rambam. He goes through some background information important to know for Tisha B'Av, and then we'll go into the Gemaras that discuss the nature of the city of Beitar and its destruction. And we'll try to, like I said, in the beginning of this year, we're going to try to come out with some new insight into why the destruction of Beitar is so essential in the mourning of Tisha B'Av. So if you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Tainios, Parakei, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says, V'Tisha B'Av v'chamisha dvarim irubo. So the Jews fast on Tisha B'Av because there were five things that occurred on Tisha B'Av. So this is good, a refresher before Tisha B'Av. What are the five things? Nigzar al Yisrael b'midbar shel yikantzu l'aretz. So the first bad thing, evil thing that occurred is that the Jews, by the Meraglim, were caused their denial into Eretz Yisrael. The Charav habayis barishonu vashniyah. And furthermore, the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Then Nilkada Ir Gedola, Ubeitar Shema. So the Rambam says that there was also a city that was, a large city that was captured, and its name was Beitar. V'hayuba Alfayim V'rivavos Mi'Yisrael. There were many thousands of Jews that lived there. V'hayalahem Melech Gadol. And they also had a great king. V'dimu Kol Yisrael U'gdoli HaChachamim Shuha Melech Mashiach. And the Jews thought that this king was going to be Mashiach. V'nafal b'yad gayim, v'neragu kulam, and everyone died, and he was killed as well. V'haishet tzara gedola k'mo churban ha-mikdash. And the destruction was equal to the destruction of the Mikdash. Uvo b'yom ha-muchan l'paranios, the last thing, so there were five things, that was number four, and the last thing was charash tonosrophus harasham y'malchi edom. So Melch Edom, he plowed Esaheichal, the land where the Heichal was, the Beis HaMikdash, Vesvivav, and its surroundings, L'kayim, Tzion, Sade, Techarash. So there are five bad things that occurred on Tisha B'Av, the first of which was the Meraglim story, and the Jews being decreed not to go into Eretz Yisrael. The second and the third were the Beis HaMikdash. The fourth was Beitar, and the Rambam goes into this description of Beitar, and he says that it was a big city, lots of Jews lived there, they had a great king, who everyone thought was Mashiach, and they were all killed, and it was equal to the Churban. And the last thing was this plowing of the Makom of the Heichal. So the question is, why does the Rambam go into such detail about Beitar? He's trying to show us why Beitar was such a great tragedy, more so than any other city. But what element is essential to why it was such a great tragedy? Why does he compare it to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash itself? Just factually, as background, Beitar was the last Jewish revolt against the Romans in the 130s, 130 in that time period after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But the question is, why is this highlighted as such a strong tragedy that we have to, it's one of the five things that occurred. There were many cities that were destroyed, Jewish cities that were destroyed in Eretz Yisrael. So why do we highlight the destruction of Beitar? Is it simply that it was the last stronghold of the Jews, or is there a deeper idea that the Rambam, I think, is alluding to in his description of Beitar? Why was it so bad? So the first point, just as a factual background, but also, I think, play into the insight that we have, is that the Rambam mentions that they had a great king. And who was that king? The king was Bar Kokhba. So if you look in the Torah Tmima, who quotes Yerushalmi, this is a famous, that Rabbi Akiva, look in number two, it's based on, I think it's based on the story of Balak and Bilam. It says, Darach Kochav Miyakov. The Pasuk says that a star will be born, will rise from Yaakov. Tanya, the Brisa says, Rabbi Akiva Hayadoresh, Darach Kochav Miyakov. Rabbi Akiva had a drusha on this Pasuk. It says, a star will rise, a superstar will rise from Yaakov. Darach Koziva Miyakov. It's not Koch, it's Kochav was Koziba, who is a reference to Bar Kokhba. He was called Bar Kokhba because of this Pasuk, but his real name was Bar Koziba, the son of Koziba, and the Gemara says, we're going to see the Torah Tamima's explanation, but Rabbi Akiva, this is famous, Rabbi Akiva believed that Bar Kokhba was really going to be Mashiach, and he was this that when the Rambam says that Dimu Kol Yisrael U'gdolei HaChachamim Shu HaMelech HaMashiach, The Gedolei HaChachamim is a reference, I think, to Rabbi Akiva. That Rabbi Akiva was the main rabbi who believed that Bar Kokhba was going to be Mashiach. And the Torah Tmima in source number 3 says as follows, Kai al ben Koziba. It's referring to Ben Koziba. Shahaya bimei Rabbi Akiva. He lived in the times of Rabbi Akiva. Asher kinoda ta'abo Rabbi Akiva mekodom kisavrshu Mashiach. Before he was mistaken and he was killed, Bar Koziba, so Rabbi Akiva believed that he was Mashiach. V'levesov chazar bo v'hu nerag. In the end, he retracted and Bar Kokhba was killed. V'karov lomar shal yisod drasha nifla azu. There's a wondrous element to this drasha. Kar'u Bar Kokhba kodom shikiru b'ta'uso. So Rabbi Akiva called him Bar Kokhba before he recognized his mistake, that Bar Kokhba really wasn't going to be Mashiach. U'la'achar shikiru, once he recognized that Bar Kokhba didn't have the ability to be Mashiach, Kar'u Bar Koziba. He called him Bar Koziba, Shenepach la'achsav. Achsav means a disappointment. So the drasha he wants to say is that it wasn't that his name was Bar Koziba, he called him Kozba because Kozba means achsav, it means disappointment. And it's to show you that prior to Bar Kokhba's fall in Beitar, Rabbi Akiva really believed that he was going to be this great leader, Mashiach. And after the fall, he was a disappointment, achsav. Uvegitin nun zayin amraf nikra bar daroma. He's called the son of the south. The other possibility is Bar Koziba was where he was from a town called Kiziv, and that's why in the south of Eretz Yisrael, and that's why he was called Koziba. So Koziba is not a reference to the disappointment that Rabbi Akiva felt after realizing that he wasn't really appropriate to be Mashiach, but rather it was where he was from. So different possibilities, but just the Rambam mentions this idea that there was a king of Beitar. And everyone thought it was Mashiach, it was Bar Kokhba. And Bar Kokhba was recognized by Rabbi Akiva at the time, as Yerushalmi points out, as Mashiach until he fell, and until the city fell. So the question is, why is that important? Why is it important in terms of the Svara, the theory as to why Beitar was such a bad, tremendous tragedy? But also, what was the cause of the tragedy of Beitar? What caused it to fall? Was it just military, or was there a philosophical flaw as well? So if you look in the Gemara on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph and Gittin, where many of the Gemaras about Tisha B'Av and stories about Tisha B'Av exist, so it's a good area to approach on Tisha B'Av. You're allowed to learn that area in Gittin. So the Gemara explains why the Jews of Beitar were destroyed. And I think this will be the starting point for us to try to understand, you know, the nature of the tragedy of Beitar. So if you look in the Gemara, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, it starts as follows. Ashka derispa char of Beitar. A shaft from a carriage, so a beam from a carriage, is what caused the destruction of Beitar. Dahavu nihigi ki havu mis yaled yanuka shasli arza yanukasa, shasli tornisa. So they had a minog in the time of Beitar, that whenever a boy was born, they would plant a cedar, and whenever a girl was born, they would plant a cypress tree. So every time a boy was born, a young child, a boy, a male child was born, they planted a cedar. And every time a female child was born, they planted a cypress. So when they would get married, that one male would marry a female, they would cut down the trees and they would make a ganana. Rashi says a chuppah. So it was a beautiful minug that they had, that they came up with, where they would plant these trees for every birth, and then when those children would marry each other, they would cut the trees down and they would make a chuppah out of those trees. Yomachad hava kachalfa barate de Kesar. So one day, the daughter of the Caesar was passing through Beitar. Itvar shaka de rispak. Her carriage broke. A piece of her carriage broke. Katsu arza the ailula. So she cut down, or they cut down, her entourage cut down an erez, one of the cedar trees that was planted for one of the male children in the city, the ailula, and they used it to fix the carriage. Asi nafu alayu mechonuhu. So what happened was that the people found out in Beitar and they beat them up because they were upset that they cut down the tree. Asu umru lekesar. So they escaped the daughter and all the entourage, and they went back to the Caesar and they said to him, Mardu bach Yehudai, the Jews are rebelling against you. Asa Alayu, and because of that, the Romans sent troops to destroy the city. So it's a weird story, But the story of the destruction of Beitar is that it was caused by this incident, where they had this minog that they seemingly came up with, where they would plant these trees, one for male, one for female, and then when they would get married, the two children would get married. When they got older, they would use that to make the chuppah. And the daughter of the Caesar is passing through, and she needs the wood to fix her carriage. She cuts down a tree, they beat her up, and they beat them all up. They go back to the Caesar, and they say, look, the Jews are rebelling. Okay, so we have to analyze, you know, what exactly is this flaw that they have? What kind of response is this? And why did this cause the destruction of the whole city? Okay, so then the Gemara goes on. Gada b'chari af kol keren Yisrael. There's a pasuk in Eicha, and it says, if you look in source number 6, Gada b'chari af kol keren Yisrael yeshiv achor yimino mipnei oyev v'yivar b'yakov ke'ish la'ava achlos aviv. It means in blazing anger, he has cut down the might of Israel. He has withdrawn his right hand from the enemy, from before the enemy, and a flaming fire has consumed Yaakov achlos aviv, and it's consumed all sides. So what does that mean? Amar of Zera, Amar of Avo, Amar of Yochanan, back to the Gemara. Elu shmonim elef karnei melchama, 80,000 horns of war. Shenichnusu lekrach Beitar. They entered into Beitar, b'shah shalachduah, when they captured it. V'harguba anashim b'nashim b'taf. And they destroyed all the males, the females, and the children. Ad shahalach daman v'nafal liyam hagadol. There was so much blood in the destruction of Beitar that the blood seeped into the Mediterranean. Shema Tomar Krova Haisa, you might have thought that Beitar was close to the Mediterranean. Rechoka Haisa Mil, it was a mill, one mill, which was far away from the Mediterranean. So the Gemara is showing from the Pasuk in Eicha that the destruction was so brutal that all the blood, there was so much blood from the destruction that it seeped all the way to the Mediterranean from Beitar, which is far away. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Agadol Omer, Shnei Nachlem, Yeshua Bikas Yadayim. There's two rivers in this valley. Echad Moshech Elech, Echad Moshech Elech. They each go one way and the other way. V'shiru Chachamim, Shnei Chalakim Mayim Be'echad Dam. There was so much blood. This is another possibility. There was so much blood that there was two parts blood, one part water in these rivers, all from Beitar. B'masnisa Tana, and there's the last thing is in the Braisa. It taught Sheva Shanim Batzru Ovdei Kochavim Es Karmen Midaman Shal Yisrael Below Zevel. So there were 7 years that the non-Jews, the Ovdei Kochavim, could fertilize their lawns and their crops with the blood of Beitar for 7 years without using any fertilizer at all. So that's the Gemara's conclusion. So the Gemara says this story as to why Beitar was destroyed, and then furthermore talks about the nature of the destruction, that they were completely wiped out, and the blood was so significant, there's so much blood that it either seeped into the Mediterranean, which is pretty terrible, horrific, or it was two parts to one part in these two rivers, or that the Goyim would use the blood as fertilizer and they didn't need to use natural fertilizer. So we have to understand the two parts to this story. The two parts to this story are that what was the flaw of the Jews that caused the destruction of Beitar? And furthermore, what is this idea of the blood? You know, what's this machlokas, or the different opinions as to the meaning of and the nature of the destruction of Beitar, so that the blood would be mixed and it was seeping all the way to the Mediterranean. So why do we have to know that? Why is that important? So those are the questions that we're gonna lead with. Again, okay? So I put in the Marsha here to explain this Gemara, but I want to hold off on the Marsha, and I want to get some more information about Beitar, and then we'll come back to this Gemara and we'll put everything together. But again, the main question is, what was so terrible, so tragic about Beitar? The Rambam says it was like the Churban. And we see that they had this flaw. So what was the nature of the flaw that caused the destruction of the city? And the Gemara ends up saying that there's so much blood that it seeped into the Mediterranean. So what is the significance of that? Why do we have to know, aside from it being terrible and horrific, why is it important to know how much blood there was at the time? So let's look at... So these are pretty gruesome Gemaras, pretty sad, terrible Gemaras, but we'll look in appropriate for Tisha B'Av. So we'll look in source number 8. We'll skip source number 7. We'll come back to it. So in source number 8, we'll start getting the first insight into the nature of Beitar. So it says, Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, Amar Yochanan, Arbaim Sa'a Kitsutze Tfilin, Nimtzu'u Beroshe Haruge Beitar. They found 40 Se'a, many Se'a, 40 Se'a, which is a big shear, a big amount of tefillin boxes that were on the heads of those who were killed in Beitar. So if you look in Rashi, he says, Ketzutze tefillin, Devusei tefillin, chutz min ha-retzua, kari ketzita, kedamrina v'masech ha-sukka, oches b'retzua v'eino oches b'ketzita. So ketzita just means the boxes. So they found all these boxes of tefillin on the heads of those who were destroyed and killed in Beitar. Rabbi Yanai b'Rabbi Yishmael amar shlosh kupos shel arbaim arbaim seya. He said there were three large baskets of 40 and 40 seya in each of tefillin boxes. B'masnisa tana arbaim kupos shel shalosh shalosh se'in. And in the Brisa, it says the other way. There are 40 large baskets of 3 and 3 se'in in each one. V'lo pligi ha-deresha ha-dedara. So they're not arguing. One is talking about the tefillin of the rush, and the other one is talking about the tefillin of the arm. And the boxes were different sizes. Rashi says, dedara mem se'av u'deresha shehim gedolim dalid batem b'chol ketitza. The tefillin shorosh are larger because they have four different compartments. Havu gimel zimni me se'av. So they were the mem se'ah in three different baskets, and the other ones were the tefillin shel yad. So Rashi just explained the facts, but the Gemara ends up saying that there's a lot of tefillin that they found, tefillin boxes on the heads of those in Beitar and different baskets in Beitar, and the Gemara is trying to show us that there was an abundance of tefillin there. Okay, so the question is, what's the purpose of this Gemara? What do we learn about Beitar from this Gemara? So I think this is the first insight into why the destruction of Beitar was so terrible. So there's a Rambam, famous Rambam based on a Gemara, that discusses the philosophy of tefillin. And in source number 11, the Rambam is in Hilchos Tefillin and Mezuzah and Sefer Torah Perek Dad Alecha Chaf Hey, and it says Kedushas Tefillin Kedushas and Gedolihi. The tefillin has a great holiness, great sanctity. Shekol Zman Shat Tefillin Baroshel Shel Adam BeAzroo. Who einav v'yari shemayim ve'eno nimshach b'schok uv'sicha b'teila. When a person's wearing tefillin, sorry, it's who anav. He's an anav. He's a humble and he's a yari shemayim and he's not involved in laughter and wasteful talk. Ve'eno maharher machshavos raus. He's not fantasizing about bad things. Ela mefana libo b'divrei emes v'atzedek. He's able to control his thoughts towards the truth and righteousness. Lefichach tzarech adam lishdada liyosan alav. The essential mitzvah of tefillin is the whole day. We don't do it the whole day because we can't concentrate and we don't have that level of kavana, and also we're worried about nekiyas haguf. But really, the essential mitzvah of tefillin is to wear it all day. Amru lav arav talmido shabina kadosh shekol yama of lo ru'u shalach arbamos below Torah below tzitzis below tefillin. So they said about Rav said about his Rebbe Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that he never went four amos without Torah, tzitzis, and tefillin. So we see that the essential philosophy of tefillin, without getting too deep, is really that tefillin is meant to focus man's thoughts on the proper thoughts, and to focus man's heart on the proper ideas, the proper emotions to have. And really, wearing tefillin is supposed to keep a person in a certain philosophical state. And the mitzvah of tefillin is really all day. So what do we see? What can we infer? So we can infer from the Rambam that the idea of all these tefillin being found in Beitar was that the people of Beitar would seem to value this, or would be in a state, this philosophical state. And they seem to be on a high level, that the people of Beitar, the fact that they found all these tefillin shows you that the people of Beitar were living in a state, in a philosophical state where they had tefillin on and where they were walking around geared with their mind, geared, and their emotions geared towards God, towards Emes Vitzedek, like the Rambam says. So the first insight that we have about Beitar, that the Rambam doesn't mention in Tanyos, but we see from this Gemara, is that through their involvement in tefillin, I think the Gemara is teaching us their level, their philosophical level. That really the Jews of Beitar were on a high level, that they really were good people, and they were involved in that's why it's using tefillin, because tefillin puts person in a state of mind where they're constantly geared towards Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it seems like the people of Beitar were in that state, and that's what the Gemara is teaching us through the fact that in their destruction, all these tefillin were found. It's trying to teach us about their state when they were alive, that they were really engaged and involved in Yiras Hashem and Anivas, like the Rambam says. So I think that's the first idea that the Gemara teaches us about the society of Beitar, that it was a really high level. And there's another Gemara that highlights this as well. So look in source number 12. These are all Gemaras in Kittin, Nun Ches, Amud Aleph. It says, Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabban Shimon Megamliel, Mai Dechsev Eini Olulal Inafshi Mekol Benos Ir. What does it mean when it says this Pasuk? I think it's Echa as well. My eyes affect my soul because the daughters of my city. Arba Meos Bate Knesios Hayu Bekrach Betar. They had 400 shuls. Uvachol Achas V'Achas Hayu Ba Arba Meos Malam De Tinokos. They had 400. They had in each one. They had 400 Malam De Tinokos teachers. Vachol Echad V'Echad Hayu Lefanav Arba Meos Tinokos Shel Beis Rabban. And each one had 400 students. Ukshay Oyev Nichnas L'Sham Hayu Dokrin Oson Bechutrehen. When the enemies came in and they saw these children, they would stab them with their spears. Ukshagavar oye velachtum, when they were successful, karchum besifreim behitzisum beish. They took the Sefer Torah and they put them around them and they burned them up. So another Gemara, this is another Gemara about Beitar, but it's teaching us that they also had 400 shuls, 400 teachers, 400 students. So what does this teach us also about Beitar? It sounds like it's teaching us that not only were the people on a high level, they were wearing tefillin all day and they were involved in mitzvos, but they also had an infrastructure where Torah was really in its essence of the city. And they had a future. They were training the students, the children of the city, to be involved in Torah. So it sounds like the society of Beitar, it sounds like from the Gemara, the way the Gemara is presenting Beitar, is that it was really a perfected society. It was a society where the men were involved in Yiras Hashem, Anivos, and Tefillin, and they had an infrastructure that was geared towards Torah. They had all these shuls, all these teachers, all these students, so they really had a tremendous infrastructure where the potential of these young students would lead to an even further greater society in Beitar. So the Gemara here on Nun Ches is painting a picture of what Beitar is, and they're teaching us that Beitar was really a society, a perfected society, a society which was geared around an infrastructure of Torah, and the people were really engaged in Torah and mitzvos and engaged in tefillin, and tefillin is really the highlight of a person being in a certain state of mind. So with that, then we'll come back to the Gemara and what the flaw was. But perhaps the Gemara is saying, based on these Gemaras and the Rambam, perhaps the first idea is that the reason why Beitar was such a terrible loss is because Beitar really reflected the possibility or the potential for really Beis HaMikdash, for really the rebuilding of the third Beis HaMikdash. Because you had all the elements, like the Rambam says, you had a king who apparently was on a high enough level that Rabbi Akiva believed that he would be Mashiach. And eventually he says he wasn't, but he thought he was Mashiach. And the Gemara paints a society that was really tied to Torah in a different type of way, where A, the tefillin idea is telling you about the state of mind of the people in the society, and the infrastructure of Torah is telling us about their value system. So perhaps the Rambam, when he talks about the tragedy of Beitar being like the Churban, it's because he's referencing the idea that Beitar was a glimpse into a perfected a society that should warrant Beis HaMikdash, that should warrant the third Beis HaMikdash. And it had all the elements at one point in time. It had the elements of a great king who was at one point Rabbi Akiva believed was Mashiach, and it had a society with a proper value system, and the people in that society were engaged in a certain mindset of geared towards Emes V'Tzedek, like the Rambam talks about the philosophy of Tefillin. So that's one of the reasons I believe that the tragedy of Beitar is highlighted on Tisha B'Av, and that's why the Rambam compares it to the destruction of the Churban, because the society really reflected the potential of the Jews to get the third Beis HaMikdash. They had all the elements in that society, but it was lost. And when it was destroyed, there was also a destruction of the idea, of that idea. There's a destruction of the concept of the third Beis HaMikdash, at least temporarily. So now let's go back to the Gemara in source number 4. So what exactly was the flaw? Does anybody have any questions, by the way? Does that make sense? Any questions on that point? So what was the flaw of Beitar now? So the loss of Beitar is the loss of the society of the Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash. It's a loss of a potential of a perfected society with a melech, like a melech Mashiach, and a whole city that's dedicated towards Torah. But what was their flaw? So if you go back to the story, it's a funny story. The story says...
Hello, please leave a message after the tone.
Hello? Hello, can you hear me on the phone line? Somebody answer. I don't know what that was.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, I don't know what that was. All right. So now let's go back to the Gemara. So what exactly was the flaw of the city? They had all these elements. They had the element of Melech Mashiach. They had the element of a perfected society where they were engaged in Torah mitzvos. So we go back to the story. The story is that they overreacted to this situation. They had this minug of the trees, and they saw that the daughter of the Caesar came through, and she cut it down, and they beat her up. So what is that flaw? So the Maharsha says, look in source number 7. The Maharsha says, Yenukasa shasli tornisa. Hu gamkein min eres, kidamina meperek, im ena makirin, yud mine arazim hein. So even the, he's saying even tornisa, which we said was a cypress, is a type of cedar. It's just a different type of cedar. Shnemar etain bemidbar eretz shita. Eretz arza shita tornisa. So another name for a cedar is a tornisa. Ve'afshar shihu min eres nekeva. It was a female version of a cedar. Lefi alashon shita v'tornisa shiyesh b'ilanos gamkein min zachar v'nekeva. So there's also male and female forms of trees, and he's just saying the Marsha's first point is that it's not a different tree; it's the same type of tree, just a female male version to mimic the male child and the female child. Ulahachi ka'amar ki katzu arza. The story was that the daughter of the Caesar cut down the Erez, which was the male tree. Nafil alayu umechinu. They beat him up. Dehabu savri sheramzu lemayit hazacharim. They thought that this was a hint of being memayit hazacharim, of trying to kill the male children. She was cutting down the tree. She's trying to kill all the men in the city, the male children. Dehabu shasli arza legabi simon birkas hayanuka ukamasha kasa befaro kol bein hayilod. So really, the Jews at the why did they beat her up? Because they thought that she was the idea of her cutting down the tree wasn't they didn't realize that it was just for the carriage. But they thought that it was really in order. It was really a symbol that they were trying to. The Caesar was going to kill all the male children in the city. So that's how they. That's why they beat him up. That's how the Marsha explains it. And then the next Marsha, Gadaba Chariyaf Kol Karen Darshu Haikra Achurban Beitar Shemalchus Nikra Ayn Sham Karen Bechom Bakum Uven Kosiba Shemalch Bevesar Ashitabo Rabbi Akiva Shemalch Mashiach Chid Isim Midrashos. So then the Marsha explains that this idea that we mentioned before, that in Beitar, Rabbi Akiva believed that Bar Kokhba, who was the leader of Beitar, was really Melech Mashiach, and then he was destroyed. And then the last part we'll take up next. But the Maharsha says that the nature of the flaw was that they, why did they overreact? Because when they saw the daughter of the Caesar cutting down the tree, they thought it was a remez, it was a hint to the idea of Paro, which was that all the male children, she was trying to hint that all the male children in the city will be destroyed. So what exactly is the flaw here? What's going on? What exactly is the problem? So I think the problem of Beitar, to kind of highlight, to universalize what the Maharsha is saying, I believe, is that when you have a society drawn to Torah and really involved in Torah, sometimes the involvement in the Torah and the specifics of the mitzvos take on an idea in their own, and they're removed from the philosophy of the Torah. So over here, the example that's being used by Beitar is a minug. So a minug is not something brought down in the Torah. It's something that's really a good idea or could have a good philosophical concept. Maybe they're trying to reflect the unification of the married couple, trying to reflect an idea about Hashgacha. I'm not sure exactly what the reason for the minhag of Beitar was in creating this chuppah, but a minhag is premised on an idea, a true philosophical idea. And the issue over here by Beitar was that they emphasized the components of the minhag and they made them into an entity within themselves. And it was no longer, the minhag itself was disconnected from the philosophy of the minhag. So we see that their overreaction to her cutting down the tree and the belief that cutting down the tree was really a sign that the Jewish children were going to be killed, it shows you that they emphasize the details of the mitzvos. And this isn't even a mitzvah, this is a minhag, but they emphasize the details excluding or outside of the philosophy itself. It's almost like the entity of Torah existed apart from the philosophy. And when that happens, even though it's good to keep halacha, keep mitzvos, but when you keep mitzvos in an exclusive of the philosophy, the underlying philosophy of the mitzvos, and the mitzvos become an end in itself, an entity within itself, so then it's a problem. And here we even see more disconnect, because this isn't from the Torah, this is a minhag that they had. So it sounds like the idea of Beitar was that, and you have this by religious societies, that a religious society, at a certain point, a lot of times they'll and I'm not drawing any conclusions to societies nowadays, but religious societies tend to place emphasis on the details of the mitzvos apart from the philosophy, the underlying philosophy of the mitzvos. And really, the purpose of the Torah is really, it seems like, according to many Rishonim and many Mefarshim, the purpose of the Torah is really the underlying philosophy, not the particulars of the mitzvos. The mitzvos are supposed to perfect the person. So over here, you see the opposite. You see that even though the society was attached to Torah and mitzvos, they looked at it as an end in itself. They didn't understand, it got to a point where it itself got disconnected from the philosophy, the underlying philosophy of the Torah, which could be more significant or more underlying, more essential component. It kind of reminds me of how when people, I know this is not an exact comparison, but it reminds me of when people get stoned in certain areas and for not dressing appropriately or dressing up to the standard. So you see that over there, there's an underlying philosophy of the Torah of avos, of a person loving his fellow Jew, and that seems to be an underlying idea of unification. And there's a particular element here that's not being kept or not being kept up to the certain standards of that society. But the underlying philosophy should take precedence. The underlying philosophy of the Torah, which is to reflect the justice, the midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be essential. And you should never have a system that's disconnected from the underlying concepts that the Torah are trying to teach us. And over here, by Beitar, this is the example where the society was attached to Torah mitzvos, but the mitzvos, and over here it's a minhag, it's not even stemming from the Torah itself, become an end in itself. They get disconnected from the purpose and the philosophy, and that's what leads to the overreaction. So I think that's what the Gemara is teaching us about the society of Beitar. But what was the final concept? So the blood was so significant that either it traveled a mill or it was used as a fertilizer or there was 2-to-1 part. So what is that concept? It seems like the Gemara is highlighting that by Beitar, the loss, you couldn't avoid the loss. It was nicker. It was recognizable. And the accumulation of blood is an idea that the loss was recognizable and it had an effect on Klal Yisrael, a tremendous effect on Klal Yisrael. It wasn't something that could just be forgotten or lost. But the amount of destruction there was something that was seen by the Jews, at least the sides that hold that there is a tremendous amount of blood. It's an idea that the loss was unavoidable, that the idea that this society that reflected the ideal that could have been a society of Mashiach, could have been a society of Beis HaMikdash Shlishi, was destroyed. That idea was recognizable. It was nicker. And it was so disastrous that it couldn't have been avoided. The Jews couldn't forget about it. It was so obvious. And it was so recognizable, the nature of the destruction of this society. So it's not just about the numerous amount of people that were destroyed, but it's about the ideal society, the society that could have been a society of Mashiach and Beis HaMikdash Shlishi being destroyed because of this distortion that existed in the society. So there's one more point I wanted to mention, and then I'll summarize. So the last point in the Shir, in source number 13, so in benching, we make a bracha, the fourth bracha, and the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, it's brachos daf mem ches amud beis, Amar of Nachman, Moshe tikin lishol berkos hazan b'shashi yar lahem man. So the first bracha was instituted by Moshe. Yoshua tikin lahem bikros ha'aretz, kevan shenich nesu la'aretz. So Yoshua was mesaki in the second bracha. David and Shlomo tiknu boni yerushalayim. David and Shlomo were mesaki in the boni yerushalayim. David tikin al yishrael amcha v'ayushalayim yerecha, Shlomo tikin al bayis ha'gadol v'akadosh Hatov Amitiv, so the fourth bracha, Biyavne Tiknua, was Misakin, was established in Yavne, Kineged Haruge Beitar. It was really reflective, or it was really tied to those who were killed in Beitar. The Amar of Masna, Rav Masna says, Oso Hayom, Shenisnu Haruge Beitar, the Kvura, when the Haruge Beitar were allowed to be buried, those that were killed in Beitar were allowed to be buried. Tiknu b'yavne hatov v'ametiv. Hatov shlo hisrichu. They established a bracha to thank Hashem that the bodies did not rot. They didn't decompose. V'ametiv shenistu l'kvira. And he who does good, because he allowed the Jews, he created a situation where the Jews could be buried. And in source number 14, in Tainus, he even says that Tu B'Av, which is one of our happy days after Tisha B'Av, is really a recognition of this as well. He says, Rav Masna Amar, Yom Shenasnu Arugi Beitar L'Kfura, V'Amar Rav Masna, that's Tu B'Av. It was the day that the Jews of Beitar were allowed to be buried. V'amor v'masna osu yom shenasna ruga beitar l'kfura tiknu b'yavna atov v'ameitiv atov shlo yisrichu v'ameitiv shenasna l'kfura. It's the same limud. So what was the good? What was this good? It seems like it was just... It seems like this would just be a terrible thing. Yeah, it was better that the Jews be buried, but this destruction was so horrible, and it's interesting that the Torah is almost making it a happy event that the Jews of Beitar were allowed to be buried. One would think that that's okay, it's a good thing, but why should we celebrate it? Why is Tu B'Av, which is a normally a happy day, and the Bracha of Atov V'Ameitiv, why are we thanking Hashem for this idea of really the Harugei Beitar being allowed to be buried? So I think based on, this is the last point of the shir, but I think based on the Svara, the theory that we had, that Beitar was a reflection of an ideal society, a society of Beis HaMikdash Shlishi with Mashiach, we can understand why Atov Me'ametiv was established, which is that the Jews were faced with this destruction, and it destroyed, with this destruction, it destroyed the Jews' hope and the Jews' idea that Beis Shlishi was even possible. And once the Jews, I believe that once the Jews were allowed to be buried from Beitar, it restored the Jews' ability, the Klal Yisrael's ability to put their hope and their faith in the idea of an ideal world, an idea of Bayis Shlishi and a Melech Mashiach. But until that point, they were constantly faced with the destruction of Beitar and the idea that it wasn't going to happen. So the burial of the people of Beitar wasn't just, I don't think it was just Kavod Ames, because burying a person who's killed or who died is Kavod Ames. It's showing respect to the dead. But I don't think it was just that, because it's Hatov Amitiv. There was a special bracha for it. It was tied to this destruction. I think the idea is a deeper idea, which is that it restored the Jews' ability to hope and to think about the possibility of Mashiach coming and the possibility of Bayis Shlishi. And when they were faced with the destruction of Beitar, with all the blood, which is that's what the Gemara is alluding to, the blood or the blood being used as fertilizer, is an idea that society was, the destruction of that society was so complete that it destroyed the Jews' idea or hope for a Bayis Shlishi, a hope for a Mashiach, or the concept of Mashiach was severely destroyed in the minds of the Jews and the hearts of the Jews. But once Beitar was given some nechama, and there was some ability to bury the dead of Beitar, it gave the Jews the idea or the possibility of dreaming, of hoping for a Bayis Shlishi and hoping for Melech Mashiach. So I think that's the good of the burial of the dead of Beitar. It's not just about them and Kavod Ames, but it's about the restoring the hope and the dreams of Klal Yisrael for Bayis Shlishi and the idea that an ideal society can exist in the future. All right, so I just wanted to summarize the main points of the shir at the end of the shir now. So we started with one question, which is, you know, what is so terrible about the destruction of Beitar? The Rambam mentions that it's the fourth tragedy that occurred, and he talks about Melech Mashiach, but he also says that it was such a great sara, it was comparable to the Churban. So our question was, you know, what's the comparison? What's so great about this sara? So we saw through the Torah Tzmima and quoting the Yerushalmi, that the Rambam's idea of Mashiach was really Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva believed that Bar Kokhba had all the elements of this leader of Mashiach, and then he realized that he was wrong when Beitar was destroyed. And then we also went into, a little out of order, but we went into the destruction of Beitar, that it was caused by the story of the Caesar's daughter coming through and her carriage breaking, and she cut down the tree that they believed was represented the Jewish males, and because of that they beat her up, and she went back to the Caesar, and they destroyed the city. And there was so much blood that it was it seeped all the way to the Mediterranean. It was a tremendous devastation. So we held off on answering that or what that flaw was, but we saw further on in Gittin that Beitar was the society, a perfected ideal society. They were tied to Tefillin. We saw that from that Gemara. We also saw that they had many shuls and many teachers. They had an infrastructure and a value system tied to Torah. So the first idea was that the destruction, the Rambam was comparing it to the destruction of Mikdash, because it really, the society of Beitar was the potential for Bayis Shlishi. It had all the elements. It had a great leader, a leader that was comparable to Mashiach, and it had a society that had a future and an infrastructure and a philosophy that was tied to Torah. But the flaw was that the Torah became, the mitzvos, the details, became an end in itself. And you see that from the example of the minog that they created, that they were so infuriated by the minog that it was disconnected from the underlying idea of Torah, the underlying concepts, philosophy of Torah, and the overreaction is indicative of how they viewed the details, that they put emphasis on the details as opposed to the underlying philosophy. And the minhag became detached from its purpose, its function. So the last point in the shir was that the blood and the amount of blood shows you that the Jews were constantly faced with this destruction, and it didn't just destroy them emotionally, but it destroyed the idea of the society of Beitar, which was important for the Jews to have, and it destroyed it temporarily. But when we bench, we say Atov Amitiv. So we're recognizing the good that Hashem did for us to allow the burial of those who died in Beitar, to give the Jewish people the ability to once again see the potential for a society like that, to see the potential for Bayis Shlishi, and that occurred with the burial of those who were killed in Beitar. All right. So hopefully with that, when you come to Tisha B'Av, we'll have a more meaningful idea of why we're mourning the destruction of Beitar. All right, so... Yes?
I have a question. Do you think that the destruction was worse because it was, a Torah system that wasn't used properly? As opposed to, now they, the Torah system is not so much in place. So.
Say it again? I'm sorry, say it. Last point again, I'm sorry. Yeah.